All right, let's do this thing.
What is this song, Bob?
Rocket Queen.
Bullshit news.
Charlie,
oh, you changed
it. Simple.
No bullshit news. Like most of your stories, it's false. No bullshit news.
Hot no bullshit. Dog.
No shame. No shame in my game.
No bullshit news.
Charlie, you're a media bully, Charlie.
Quit the media bullying.
Guess what? We just turned media on its head. We're on 9:10 a.m. They take 9:10 a.m. in Detroit. Well, it's actually Southfield, isn't it? Superstation. We're on. I like the music, Bob. Keep that going. It's just getting me in the mood. We're on 9:10 a.m. 4 to 5 Mondays. No bullshit news hour. Go ahead, Kevin. Bleep that one. No bullshit news hour. Isn't that weird?
What station is that on again?
9:10 a.m.
9:10 a.m.
Right. It's 50,000 watts. You can get us in Flint.
So, and we're the early drive home. So people cutting out of work get to hear us.
Yeah, because nice. Not cutting out. Because remember, man, we're still a factory state.
That's true.
You're out of three.
Yeah.
Tune it in. Which, by the way, a podcast going on the radio is reverse. Usually the radio goes on a podcast. It's that good. But I'm looking at this. What is this fucking thing called? Radio Inc. We made the business rag, radioinc.com. Controversial media personality. Charlie Leduff. What does that mean?
That means you're a trendsetter, Charlie.
What? You know, I like it.
It means they don't know what you're going to say.
How's that controversial? Look,
because you're different. You're a standout. You're not a conformist.
So that's like controversial? Like you serve the people, you get the facts right? You're not boring?
Something like that.
Oh, come on. Come on, Jason.
You're a renegade, man. You can't help it.
Man. Look, the media should serve the people. It should serve the governed, not the governors. Justice Hugo Black, United States Supreme Court. That is so true. And if we're not going to serve the governed, why do it? Paycheck? Party? No, I'm not doing that. In fact, in Deadline Detroit, I wrote a column. I just want to promote Deadline Detroit a little bit. They caught that bomber, the mail bomber.
It didn't take him very long.
Yeah, they got his van, and it's got all the... His van's got, like, all these placards and stuff, and when CNN sucks, and Trump, and Pence, and all that. How did he not get pulled over? the fact is, young black guy would drive around with keychain hanging from his rearview mirror, and he gets pulled over.
Drop of a hat, yeah.
How's this dude not getting pulled over?
I was going to say that, but you beat me to it.
How is that? Yeah, I don't know. The guy's name's Cesar Sayoc.
You said you thought he was Cuban?
He looks Cuban to me.
And he's 56, right? He's an older dude.
Yeah, so who knows? I don't even know if those bombs had triggers on them. You know what I mean? It's like the whole country's in a panic, apparently, I guess, if you watch cable news. But I'm not in a panic. This isn't the why is everybody just looking at me? Just staring at me weird.
We're listening to you.
This is not the worst time in America at all. After 9/11, 1 week after 9/11, you remember the anthrax packages? People were getting mailed real anthrax. 5 people died. 17 got infected. I got anthrax. It was fake anthrax, but it was mailed to Judith Miller at the New York Times. I was upstairs having a cigarette, and I didn't hear the please evacuate, and I came down the stairwell, and there's these guys in these moon suits, like, where's Judith Miller's desk? I'm like, oh, it's right over here. What the fuck? Oh, my God, I'm anthrax. I run out on the street. I'm in anthrax. Hug me.
Who opened the letter?
Judith Miller did.
She opened
went
it.
All
and
over.
I noticed there was powder in it.
Took her to the hospital. Nobody said shit to me. In fact, I was covering, that was a week after Ground Zero. I'm covering Ground Zero for that whole year. All they ever gave me was like one of those drywall masks, you know, those little paper masks with a rubber band.
Don't do shit.
Now everybody's dying of breast cancer. Nobody asked, like, you know, how I was doing. Controversial, that's why.
Well, you survived anthrax. So.
How are your breasts doing?
Let's check them out, baby. Yeah, baby, I worked out this morning. just remember, 50 years ago this year, Martin Luther King was murdered, and 100 cities simultaneously burned. Imagine if there's social media then. No one could hear you shaking your head.
No, I'm thinking, Charlie. I know that. But what role do you think social media would have played had it been present 50 years ago? Do you think it would have been better? Do you think people would have been able to temper the violence and the outbreak? Or do you think it would have been enhanced?
I think people were more willing to commit violence then. I think it would have, the violence would have
been widespread.
It was widespread. There were 650 murders in Chicago that year, a record. That's more than they have now. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. The weathermen from Ann Arbor, Michigan were convening, and they went on a five-year bombing campaign across America, including the nation's capital.
But Jason and I were talking about this prior in terms of, you know, there seems to be a level of, from my perspective, passivity when it comes to pushback on some of the things that I see. We were talking about, you know, the guy that got in trouble, not in trouble, but the police called on him for gardening while black. Then you've got the 8-year-old Bob that was in the bodega in New York, and the lady called the police because she accused him of groping her when it was actually his backpack. But outside of a hashtag, where's the pushback? And I'm not in condoning or encouraging violence.
What does that mean? Pushback where, from whom, and what passivity?
Well, from people who think that what is happening in that regard is wrong. Outside of a hashtag and a news story, that's it. Nothing's happening that is encouraging or promoting change.
I don't know. Is that true? I mean, going back 50 years ago.
I agree with you. I don't think there's any pushback. I think people think that it's acceptable because it's coming from on top.
Wait a minute. It's on the news. People are being fired. Megyn Kelly's being fired.
She'll be back.
Look, 2015 and 16, the streets were on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, why aren't the streets on fire now?
But that's my question.
Well, I'll tell you why they're not on fire. I mean, black people are still being killed by cops, as are white people, by the way. But the media doesn't go there egging people on with their lenses anymore. They got bored with it. They got Trump. We got some whack job. One guy. One out of a country of 325 million mailing maybe. We don't even know if they're bombs.
Maybe 12.
Right? We don't even know.
Tizzy.
So the pushback is, at least you hear about it. You know, I mean, again, 50 years ago, George Wallace, a segregationist from Alabama, as an independent, won 46 electoral votes. He almost got enough where nobody got to 270, and it would have had to go to the House of Representatives for them to pick a president. The Black Panthers were assassinating cops. The Democratic National Convention ended in a riot when cops turned on protesters. The Tet Offensive was going on. Richard fucking Nixon got elected. Then Richard Nixon was going to get impeached, and he resigned. And Clarence Thomas, Iraq, 9/11, Bill Clinton, the collapse in 2008, the world that we have not recovered from. That's why you're seeing all this, I think, right? This isn't the end of days. I turn off your TV for a minute and make sure you get to the voting booth. It's the only time that the billionaire is equal to the penniless. The only time. You don't have to be tricked by his billions. He's spending billions to trick you or to sway you. There's an answer. And it's not freaking out, and it's not beating each other, and it's not burning shit. I just don't believe we're in a horrible spot.
But what about, and we encourage people to vote all the time, Charlie. I totally agree with that. But how do you encourage people to do the homework? You and I talked about this a couple weeks ago in terms of the things that you bring forward, which should sway people one way or the other because they're facts. What difference does it make to people? How do we get them to vote from an informed and educated and an engaged perspective, and not just from name recognition?
Not my job. Dear listener, that's your job. You do as you wish, right? Look, we're animals. Human beings are animals, 10% different. I look at my dog, he loves me. Every time I take a dump, he got to be there. I sit on the couch, he got to be there. We're pack. We're animals.
I would love anybody who fed me and let me out.
Exactly, which I do. Which I do. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Bubs. I do. We're animals. Deal with it. That guy over there you don't like that doesn't do any thinking. We got a system. You got to put up with them. You can't get rid of them. You can't kill them. You can't isolate them, right?
But to go back to your question about social media and MLK and what would happen then, so how does that work, right? I think people feel like they're being educated. They feel like they're getting that from social media, which they're not, and it's not accurate half the time. But I think people feel they get educated from that, which is wrong.
And engaged. Hashtag, and yes, then that's it.
Hashtag engaged.
They're definitely engaged. I don't know about educated. But I guess they're informed. But
are they?
Well, being educated doesn't necessarily mean that what they have embraced is factual.
No, that's true.
Exactly.
That's why I say they're engaged, but I don't know.
But what are you engaged in? Because look, I mean, I don't have cable. So, you know, I'm driving across America. I went to New York and I come back and New York's looking at me like it's the, this is the worst time ever. I'm like, how would you know? You live in Manhattan. You don't know us. We're not on TV. You don't put us on TV. You promised you were going to put us on TV, right? After the discontent in this country revealed itself, but you're not. You lecture us. No offense, Manhattan. I love you. You know, but I was there for a, you know, a book release. My buddy Eddie Keating did Route 66 for the last decade from Chicago to Santa Monica, the collapse in the interior. And I said, you don't know any of these people. And their vote is equal to your vote. So it's better to be brotherly and sisterly than to be screaming at each other. The best way to educate yourself is get out into the country. Get out and circulate with people.
Have conversation with somebody.
I agree.
Are you having any problems with your American brother and sister in real life, in your interactions with people? Do they yell at you? Do they threaten you? Do they scream at you? No. I'm sorry, I was asking a question and answered it.
You know the answer is no.
It's but, no.
But people stop have
with
to stop
the media
being
bullying.
Charlie?
People have to stop being afraid of other people.
Right on.
I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, people can't fear others because they look, live, or love differently than them. That's the first thing.
I agree.
Jason's not so sure.
That's what?
But that is how they define everybody else. It's me or the others. You know,
I agree. It's just, I don't know. It's just best not to say anything.
Oh, you're a scared white dude.
Sure. Absolutely.
You're a scared white man who, if you say what you feel and it doesn't come out right, then you're going to be tagged, but whatever.
There's no taking things back nowadays.
But you know what?
It's
but no, and I disagree. I believe that there's a way to have a conversation from a perspective of unfamiliarity. If you don't know, then you ask, but you ask respectfully. Hey, I don't know. You know, when I first went to college, my roommate was white and from Livonia. She had never been around anybody of color. And so she was like, hey, let's figure this out. We became great friends. She didn't try to pretend or exploit or, you know, she didn't know.
We're talking about Jason the white man, not some
college. Well, she was white too.
Chicks.
But she was white from Livonia.
What's eating you, whitey?
Well, I think the issue's the same, whether man or a woman.
Look, if you can't speak your mind, right? You're going to get angry. There are going to be problems if you feel like...
And frustrated.
Yeah.
It'll get to a point where you just got...
What would you say, what would you like to say, or what would you ask if, in fact, you knew that you wouldn't get in trouble?
I think I just want to do exactly what you said and be able to have the conversation, right? fearless conversation.
What would you ask? Like, what would you ask me? What would you ask a black man? What would you ask a gay person? What would you ask because you don't know and you want to know if you knew you wouldn't get in trouble?
I have no idea what I would ask. I mean,
think about that.
I will think about that. That's a valid question.
What are you complaining about if you don't even know what you're complaining about?
Well, I'm just saying, you have to, in today's society, with all the brittle spirits out there, you really have to be careful what you say. Because you'll get social media gives a magnifying glass to morons, unfortunately. And it really exposes what, you know,
but you can't
accurate.
You can't be the silent majority.
I think it's more of
see?
Sometimes I admit I've given up to some extent. I don't watch the news sometimes. It's just not worth it. I'll take my education as I
see,
can.
I just go. Maybe that's why I'm controversial. I'm just going there.
Yeah,
like, I don't hate.
You do.
I don't hate. I don't hate.
Well, I don't either. Don't look at me. I definitely don't hate.
Well, I guess maybe, you know, the way to start moving forward is to show it. And the more that you show it and the more that you do interact, the more that you are amongst real people, you'll know what's appropriate. You know where you're harboring stuff. You know what I mean?
Let's take Jason to lunch.
Yeah.
Can we all get along?
What the hell was that, Bob?
Can we all get along?
Who's that, Rodney King?
Yeah. Can we all get along?
I knew Rodney King, man. He was a cool dude. He's a cool dude. He was a cool dude. Just had a heavy dope problem. He did live the American dream. The American dream being you catch a lawsuit, you get millions, you move into a big house, and subsequently you move into smaller and smaller houses. That's how it goes.
The American dream?
Well, yeah, that's what happens. He was a good dude, and that turned into a punchline, and he was right.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Rodney King and Reginald Denny, the white man that got pulled out of his truck in South Central and got his head beat. Was it a cinder block? They forgave. And then we moved forward. L.A. had to move forward from something really bad. Oh, yeah, by the way, Rodney King, 92, pipe bomb guy, 2018, can't even put a trigger on him. We don't even know if there's a trigger on him. Breathless coverage, and we don't even know what he mailed. Unabomber. You know, I lived through Unabomber. New York Times printed the manifesto, by the way. University of Michigan. Go Blue. Maybe not him so much.
Excuse me.
So, you know, look, just keep living, keep working, I say. Can we get to some business before I forget?
Please.
You know, we got to do a jingle for American Coney because, you know.
Because we love those Coney dogs.
Yeah, it's something like this one, you know, like, here we come on the run with the Coney on a bun and a great big side of fries. Come down to the American Coney Island, Landmark red, white, and blue. Mustard, onions, chili, homemade. Listen, we got Coney kits, AmericanConeyIsland.com. Send one to your friend in Kazakhstan in time for the holidays. You can do that, Bob. What are you laughing at?
I don't have any friends in Kazakhstan.
Oh, we do. We have a listener, don't we, Jason?
I'm sure we do.
And yeah. I'm sure they love Coneys.
I'm sure they're true.
Why don't we find one and give one away? Let's send one to
a good idea.
Listener at some point. We can all chip in and, you know.
If you're listening in Kazakhstan. Hey, listen. Oh, by the way, if you're listening in how do you get this show for the people on 9:10 a.m.?
Oh, so if you want to get the show,
you can get the old episodes.
Favorite podcast app, pick of your choice, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. You can get the show at also looking and searching for No BS NewsHour or Charlie the Duff. Or you can go to www.nobsnewshour.com and actually click the links there.
Yeah, so you can go to nobsnewshour.com, click the link, it'll take you through it. Or you can go to Google Play or iTunes, just put my name in there, and then follow it.
Yep. No bullshit news.
Or you can say, hey, Google, play me the No BS News Hour, and that works as well.
Wow, how about that? So anyway, look, man, the other thing is, speaking of American Coney Island, one of the originators and founders of the Chili Cook-Off. It's back for widows and orphans, for the families of injured and fallen firefighters and police officers in Detroit. I started with Grace, the owner of American Coney Island, and Dino Bach of Dino's Lounge, trying to give back because they took a lot away in the bankruptcy. And so this year, it's going to be November 3rd. At the Firehouse Bar and Grill in St. Clair Shores at 12 o'clock. Going to be bands, cops, firefighters cooking off against each other. Everything goes to the families. Nothing in our pockets. No.
It's a fun. I've been every year since you've started, Charlie.
Yeah, it's a good event.
It's great, and the chili is delicious.
Remember when Huel Perkins got up on stage?
Yeah.
Singing with me? Huel's the best. So, 5th Annual Chili Cook-Off, $10 at the door, all the chili you can eat. Bars galore. You know, Uber's going to be there. Please come November 3rd, 12 o'clock. That's when the pipes will start playing. Anyway, moving on. When I'm driving back from New York, right, and I get into Michigan, I'm catching the debate. Governor's debate.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know that Schuette's pulled within striking margin now?
It's tightened. He's tightened.
He's so wooden, and he pulled.
I think it was the ad. It was the ad. It had to be.
I think because he appeared on the No Bullshit
that
News Hour. That's the sway we
the
had.
Ad that we made.
The ad you made.
This
yeah.
ad.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that. Okay, I remember.
I think it made it happen. I really do.
Yeah, some people are like social media. Like we gave him a blowjob. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right? We asked him his position on gay people.
Yeah.
right? His position on Flint.
Didn't pull any punches.
How you know, you want to cut taxes but fix roads? How the hell does that work?
How do you do that? Yeah.
And we made it, put a commercial on his face. It kind of mocked him with his own stuff, and he laughed. Now, Whitmer didn't even want to come on.
Yeah.
But the issue, when I was driving, look, man, the issue is Flint. It should, you know, we're talking about, do we have a clip of it, Bob?
Of what?
Of the governor's debate about the water.
We do.
Look, this is on WDIV. I'm talking about Flint. You don't get Flint straight, right? You're not going to get any of it straight. But here's what we got. Let's prime the audience because nobody really listened to it.
Let's move on to the subject of water now. Whether it's Flint, Detroit Public Schools, Line 5 of the Mackinac Straits, the Nestle deal, or the increased alarm over what we're hearing about PFAS, Michiganders have been boiling mad about water. Of the many water issues in the state, viewers and commenters on our social media sites are most upset here recently about Nestle's $200 a year deal to bottle Michigan water. What would you do about it? And more generally, which of you will be the better custodian for Michigan's
our
most
social media people weighed
natural
in
resource? Mr. Attorney General, we'll start with you.
You know, stewardship of our Great Lakes is something that's etched in our DNA. Whether you like fishing as I do, you want to walk along a Lake Michigan beach and see a sunset or watch the sun rise on Lake Huron, we have this responsibility. And that's why I'm opposed to any diversion of Great Lakes water. That's why I support the ballast discharge rules we have in Michigan that are tougher than federal standards. And with respect to Flint, I'm the only person here on this stage that made sure we provided justice for families of Flint. Because I know families in Flint right now that only drink water from a plastic bottle and only wash vegetables from water with a plastic bottle. And I made sure there's an independent investigation. And Flint water crisis is about accountability, and it's about justice for families of Flint. Now, Senator Whitmer has done nothing about the environment in her 14 years in the legislature, only passed 3 bills, and has done nothing. And her economic programs would shut down our economy, providing less resources to help us with the environment and make sure we keep our beaches clean.
And that is That's time. Senator Whitmer?
Well, my opponent is confusing recreation with a fundamental right to clean drinking water. I think about the families in Flint every time I turn on my tap.
Every
but the
time
scary truth is right. that the state that it's is home burden. To 21% of the world's fresh water has dozens of communities that have high lead in their water right now coming out of their tap, and dozens more that have PFAS that is leaching into our drinking water. The fact of the matter is we need to create a Department of the Great Lakes and Fresh Water that is tasked with overseeing the stewardship of this resource that is all of ours. A drinking water ombudsman at the cabinet level is something that I am committed to, because when their problems arise, we need to take action. We need to shut down corporate threats to our water. We need to hold polluters accountable and get to work cleaning up the drinking water in the state of Michigan. It is appalling, the state of water and the state of the lack of safety in our water. And our Attorney General hasn't done anything.
And that is time. Attorney General Shooter, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal. And I want to
So on one hand, Whitmer's saying we need some more bureaucracy. And on the other hand, Shooty's saying we need to cut some taxes.
Can't have both.
And Flint sits there. Hey, Eric, you on?
Yeah, this is Councilman Eric Mace from the city of Flint.
Oh, I thought it was Barry White. Oh, my God.
Man, I need that money with me.
That's City Councilman Eric Mays. I'm going to call you Eric, okay? Because I call Shooter sure. Billy, all right? So it's fair.
You never know how long you're going to be a councilman, Charlie, so I always call myself Councilman Mays. You could be a councilman one day and not the next. So I'm always just keep saying Councilman Mays. But Eric is fine.
So use it while you got it. Listen, Eric, I was driving back. I heard that. And I remember, don't be waving, Karen. Just talk. You're freaking me out with your hands going and stuff. Talk. I came out there 2 years ago, Eric, and I made a pilot for A&E. It was just at this time when the elections were coming, and Trump and Clinton were coming and using Flint as a prop. And I brought some fresh water in a gas tanker and some showers. For Flint.
That's correct.
Remember?
That is correct.
And I
greatly appreciate it, and you gave us some much-needed publicity.
And I don't think you've ever heard it. And let's start from 2 years ago. Let's listen to this. And then when we come back, let's see what, if anything's changed. I want to give the audience a primer of what actually happened in Flint, who you are, and then we'll come back and discuss where we're at.
Good enough.
No bullshit!
I've been doing this for 20 years. New York Times, Pulitzer Prize, tired of bullshit and stupid. So are you.
It's been nearly a year to the day that the emergency's been declared. And now all of Flint is poisoned and is costing everybody in the United States money. Nothing's been fixed, and we don't know who did it. We want answers, and we want it fixed.
The first place to feel in America is the hood. Then it's the trailer park. What is Flint? It's 60% hood, 40% trailer park. Look, things boarded up, look at peeling. Now nobody wants to be a leader about it.
Look at this. Look at this. I gotta have water everywhere I go. I have to stop at 2 churches at least every day to get enough water for my family.
But y'all bathing in it.
It takes all 40s right here for me to take a bath.
You feel abandoned?
This city is already going to hell in a handbasket, and now they just taking us even further down by oppressing us with the water situation, and they seem like they are never going to do anything about it.
Why not move? Because in Flint, houses now sell for less than 15 grand. And even if she could sell, Tia Simpson wouldn't. Flint is home. How old is that?
Oh, I repulled that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is our water. Can't get pipes, can't get showers, can't get clean waters, can't get proper schooling for everybody.
Why don't you leave?
I own my home. I can't just walk away from it. And then now we're here. Nobody's taking any accountability, not one damn person. Nobody's saying, hey, you know what? We did this.
Is that something I could do for you? Can I find somebody to take some responsibility? Would that
be
a start?
Yeah, it'd be a start.
Mays is your city councilman?
Eric May.
I'll start with Eric May, see what happened, all right? I'm gonna meet him at the bar then, but I'm not gonna get ice in my drink. Don't know where that's coming from.
Councilman Eric Mays has always been a loud, if not deep, voice against the Flint power clique. Mays was against the switch from the beginning and continues to be a thorn in the side of the establishment. Who do I want to talk to?
Right now you're talking to First Ward City Councilman Eric Mays. I might be one of the people who understands what happened. This has been a real fight in order to try to fix Flint. The motivation was to send an emergency manager in here, sign agreements, take the power away from Flint and Detroit controlling water in this region.
Who signed those? Who signed those documents?
Ed Kurtz.
With Flint flat broke, Governor Snyder stripped city officials of their power and placed it in the hands of an emergency manager. His name? Ed Kurtz, the former dean of a local commuter college. In an effort to save the city money, apparently, Kurtz ordered Flint to leave the Detroit water system and build its own identical water system.
But that new pipeline would take 2 years to build. So Ed decided in the meantime, Flint would get its water from the local river.
The savings the city would earn by temporarily drinking from the Flint River would pay for upgrades to Flint's water treatment plant. Lots of jobs in that, lots of contracts, lots of political contributions. Just one little problem. The necessary upgrades were never made to the plant in the first place, and the people of Flint were served water not fit for a pig.
You've been showering in this water yourself.
I can't afford to not shower.
The question here is, what does that do to your ball sack? Does it chafe it?
It might hang a little bit.
I would not want to pump my goods.
All I'm gonna tell you, Charlie, is that this is a real city and real problems.
To Flint.
To the people of the city of Flint.
Eric Mays, Councilman,
ex-con. Part-time poet.
What is this?
This my rap sound. They call people old school. Well, you can just call me school. Some gotta be real nowadays. Yeah, I got locked up.
The switch to the river was disastrous. People died, but government officials didn't tell the public. The Michigan Attorney General promises to find out who's responsible.
Defendant knew it was reasonably foreseeable that unless something was done regarding the water source, more people can contract Legionnaire's disease. Defendant willfully neglected to report the epidemic to healthcare providers or to the general and public.
The former state director of Bureau of Disease Control pleads no contest to the cover-up. As part of her plea deal, she will turn state's evidence against others involved, the bigger fish.
How many deaths occurred because of this Legionnaire's disease?
Well, right now we have confirmed 12, now 13 that just came into play. No telling for others that we don't know.
Are you linking Legionnaires with the Flint River?
Yes, that was what the... Thank you. Yes, it came out, right?
This whole deal here, you're saying, is murder.
I'm not saying that right
Could
now.
Could it get to there, though?
I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm not going to get into that. And I'm going to just follow the evidence, every single piece of it, and we follow it to the conclusion.
You want to know what good happened here? Want to know the change we made? Story was over, and they're not doing anything. So now I'm going to try to find Chuck. I swear to God, I think the guy's following me. Wherever I go to report in America, Trump ain't far behind. This isn't even the first time we met in Flint.
Yes.
You could win it. You're way out.
I agree. Did you hear what he said? You could win it. You're way out in front. I agree.
Time to think of vice presidential material. Yeah. Having said that, I've been trying to get in your car to talk about it. My resume.
You want to be what, vice president? Oh, now his question's no longer as good. He had great credibility until he said that. Now it's like, where did he come from?
I visit the water treatment plant. Don visits the water treatment plant. So I decide to follow him to church.
Just like she's failed on foreign policy, everything she touched didn't work out. Nothing. Now Hillary Clinton.
Mr. Trump, I invited you here to thank us for what you've done.
Okay.
Not
okay.
To give a political speech.
Okay, that's good. And I'm going to go back on the front. Okay.
A political amateur, Donald's learning the game. Drop in, say nothing, move on. Just like Hillary. And everybody in Flint, everybody in America knows it.
Everybody else is pimping. Hillary and the Democrats have been pimping forever. But what's in it for the people? Not a damn thing. You know, we got a mayor, photo ops with Hillary. What comes of it? More bottled water. Donald Trump rolls in out. What's in it for you? More bottled water. Fuck the bottled water.
The mayor at the time of the switch was Dane Walling. He had no real power, but he went along with the program. He even pressed the button turning off Detroit's water. He says he was just a patsy, but how big a patsy? I decided to conduct a little experiment.
Cut.
What?
Button it.
Button it?
Yeah, go on. Looks better the other way. It does, it looks...
Before the water crisis, Flint's broke, the government's broke, unemployment, violence, health. Have you ever cried over this?
Of course.
Have you seriously?
As mayor, you cry over a lot of things.
Have you sat in your house and go, what the fuck did I do? What am I part of? You're the mayor. You knew about
my
all this stuff, and you
kids.
Didn't come out and
my
say,
kids.
Governor Snyder.
As soon as I knew.
Fucked up.
As soon as I knew, I did.
You knew when the brown water came
no,
out.
No, don't tell me what I knew.
Good answer. Did you know?
No. I knew there were problems with the water, but it was the aging infrastructure. It was the pipes needed to be flushed.
Who made the decision to switch?
It was the emergency manager.
Who's that?
At the time, it was Ed Kurtz. But here's an unanswered question. Because an emergency manager doesn't act by themselves. They're appointed by the state. They're an agent of the governor. Sometimes so the governor himself.
So the question is, who told Ed?
We don't know.
We
still don't know.
Well, what about Ed? Why didn't somebody ask Ed? It seems to me Ed would know everything.
He would know who approved it.
Where does Ed live?
I think he lives in Flint Township.
Kurtz made the decision, but it's hard to believe that the former dean of a commuter college just cooked up the idea himself. Who was whispering in Ed's ear? I went to find him. He lives in the next town over, where they have nice clean water, fresh water, show-off water.
Private road. No trespassing. It's like one of those neighborhoods where the garage is out front, and then everybody drives into their garage and closes the door and goes into the house from the side, so nobody has to know each other. I wonder if they know what Ed did. Just block your driveway here, Ed, for a moment. Always bring your documents. Oh, it's a nice fountain. Look at this, man. I'm gonna drink it, because I know it's... I know that's not coming from Flint. Ed? Ed? Open floor plan. They're very nice. Done well for himself. Oh, look, here's a neighbor. How you doing, sir? I was been trying to find Ed here. Ed used to be president of a college. What the hell would he know about drinking river water?
Well, he knows how to save money, and that's to poison people.
Guess what else happened? Started taxing your pension, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
You don't like it?
I don't like extra taxes anyway.
No, so. But I'll pay them for the right thing, you know? I'll pay some taxes, just spend it right. The roads are a mess. Everything's a mess. Schools are a mess for a teacher.
We have a private road here.
Oh, should I get off?
I'm not telling you that.
Thanks, brother.
Here comes your friend, yeah?
Here comes Ed.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, Ed. I just want to talk to you about the water. Is that your signature? Ed, is that your signature? Who gave you the idea, Ed? We'll call him. Ed, look. The crime is this, Ed. Ed? Ed. Oh, Ed, let's not do this. Ed, your neighbor's upset. Your neighbor's upset that you poisoned the water. Ed? 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 Is that your signature? Tough guy. Ed? It's not right. I'm gonna quote you, Ed. The city of Flint requires using the Flint River as a primary drinking water source for approximately 2 years. Signed, you, Ed. Ed, shame on you. My God, Ed was shaking. I thought he was gonna stroke out. He said he was calling the cops, but I didn't kill anyone. I'm just a reporter. All I'm really able to do is shine a light on rats and maybe bring a little comfort.
Hey, gentlemen, look at this trunk. It's full of nice, clean water from Ann Arbor. We got showers to attach to it. We're having barbecue. We got the towels, just bring your kids. We got shower stalls that are heated, and we're having barbecue. Everybody come. It's clean. We even got sprinklers for the babies.
It was nice not feeling bad for my daughter having to shower at home with all that water and her not saying, Mom, it burns, or all her hair falling out.
This gonna be the first good, safe shower I've had in about a year and a half, 2 years.
Kids are running around playing in the hose, and I'm like, don't let that touch you. But then it's like, oh, it's not our water, so it's okay.
The showers are just a little gesture. It's not a real solution. Flint is a full-blown catastrophe cooked up in a smoke-filled back room. Experts say the water will never be safe until all the pipes are replaced. That'll cost hundreds of millions of dollars,
borrowed from our children's future. I spent just a few days in Flint. I played in the water, showered in the water. I even drank the water. When it was all said and done, I caught a fever and diarrhea.
Let me see how big that needle is.
It's not that big.
Seems big from here.
It's little. All right, a little poke may burn.
I don't know if it was the fault of the water or I had simply contracted anxiety. But imagine what it must be like living with that 365 days a year. Imagine having to wash your babies in that. A few people got rich in Flint while the rest got screwed. Ask yourself, what are we doing in America?
No bullshit!
Wow. Wow.
What'd you think, Eric?
Man, you did a good job. I know all the details, and somebody who didn't know what I know can kind of grasp it pretty good from that. I had never heard that, Charlie. That's pretty good work.
It's a nice rap tune, by the way. And you could have a career following politics. Yeah, and Karen's like, no.
No.
hey, Karen,
no disrespect. No, maybe you and Mama D can do a collab, but no.
Listen. Maybe me and you can do one.
No, I'm going to do my own mixtape, but thank you, sir.
Hey, take it easy, Weinstein, all right? Come on.
All right, I got stuff to focus on. I can't do no more.
Councilman Mays, what has happened or what has not happened? I mean, we've been having this conversation on and off, more off than on. What's the status of the water for the residents in Flint?
I don't know if you got a 2-3 hour show, Karen, but, you know, what has happened and what has not happened. You got a list of some things that has happened, and then you got a list of things that has not happened that should have happened, in my opinion. What has happened, we declared the emergency. We got the mayor and the emergency managers and them out. We back governing ourselves after the fact. We've got over $400 million that didn't come in from the state and federal government. We've changed thousands of lead and galvanized lines. Maybe we'll wrap up next year. You could have did that all in 1 year, in my opinion, with the right amount of money and the right people, contractors, and
Let me go like this then. Okay, first of all, how many pipes been replaced?
About 6,000-7,000.
6,000 out of how many?
About 18,000.
Out of 18,000. So this is 3 years old, and we're a third of the way done.
We'll see if that turns out to be accurate numbers at the end when we keep looking and digging.
How the fuck is it a third done?
Because you didn't put enough money in and enough Army Corps engineers and or contractors in who could have did it in one season. The more people and the more money dumped in, the quicker you get it done. You've got prosecutions. People that have been bound over to circuit court for involuntary manslaughter, willful neglect of duty in office, and all of those type of things is going on.
But not all of them? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, not everybody. We still waiting to see if the governor and some higher-ups is going to be charged, because as you did in your piece, you know, Kurtz didn't make this decision by himself. He worked for the Treasury Department, the governor. These were the real people over him making decisions. And
was Kurtz even charged yet? Has he been charged?
He's not been charged. Darnell Early and Ambrose, two of the emergency managers that came after him, has been charged. And, you know, some cabinet-level appointees, what is it, Nick Lyons, the head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
He got tied.
The mayor didn't get charged.
Yeah, well, you know, how about the financiers of this thing? It's a long way to go. We're in a political season. Nobody's talking about it. One candidate is talking about, like, you know, reopening what the Attorney General's office has done, maybe dismissing some charges, starting sort of from scratch again.
What I think is interesting, Charlie, you got an Attorney General running now for governor. You got Gretchen Whitmer with an attorney general candidate. Dana Nessler, I think is the name. And when you look at the Flint water crisis, what we're waiting to hear them say, what I would ask them if they talk to me on the air or even in public, if they did a debate here, the question is, if you can prosecute as attorney generals in both parties and you are in charge of helping settle the civil litigation, even with the over $400 million that came in passing out water, what we, some of us say, you could have put filters on the house and been better off. But even with all of that going on the outside, changing pipes a third of the way done, money coming in, nobody have given the individual residents relief really inside of their homes. You had people with hair loss, rashes, death, dying, pneumonia, legionnaires, lower property values as it relates to this, humiliation, embarrassment, emotional distress, all of those class action civil suits inside people's houses, bad plumbing, corroded hot water heaters, tore up washers and dryers. I would make these candidates say what they would do in the civil litigation before they can get my vote. I'm not satisfied
Have
with what they're...
they come to Flint to see the way that you lay it out. It's so human. Your hot water heater. Even your dog, watching your dog, much less your grandchild, have they come, debated in Flint, made a commitment? Have they made this a campaign issue, Mr. Mays?
No, they have not.
God damn it!
The leadership in Flint, include me. I mean, this is my closest platform. We need to be demanding that they answer these questions and that they come here. And
then
so,
do it right now. Do it right now, Eric. Take the floor. Demand it.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm demanding. This is, how close are we now? I've been saying this for weeks and months. How close are we now to November the 6th? I'm demanding on the public airwaves that the Democratic and Republicans candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, and particularly attorney general come to Flint. I wouldn't care if I moderated whoever asked the questions. What are you going to do to speed up curing this disaster? It's a money issue right now. Money gets people to do infrastructure. Money settles citizens' lawsuits and class action suits as a result of the criminal acts and decisions made on behalf of the state. Will you come? I'm asking you, Charlie, I'm demanding them. I've got everybody watching. Come and make a commitment and be specific and quit tap dancing around. We know what it takes.
Yes, sir. Because go ahead, Karen.
I was going to say, this, in my opinion, is one of, if not the largest, most looming issue that the state is facing.
Christ.
I think it's disingenuous for them to ignore or to rhetorically respond to any question about Flint. They shouldn't have to be asked. They shouldn't have to be invited. They shouldn't have to be threatened to come to Flint and give the residents of Flint not just, you know, a promise, but a plan within a time frame to resolve their issues. Because all the things that you said sound fine, Councilman Mays, but at the end of the day, when a family awakens in the morning, that does nothing for their comfort level to be able to feed their family, their animals, prepare themselves for their day.
Well, Karen, let me say this. If you had a local, state, and federal emergency declared for a hurricane, for a tornado, a snowstorm, anything we have in the various cities in Michigan, even water, you wouldn't want state, federal, and local emergency designation, and then look 3-4 years later, because this is not Puerto Rico. This is fixable. The money amounts are measurable. And I'm tripping because I thought when you got elected in leadership positions like I am, I thought when you said something and hollered about, some people would get on board and things would move. that's not the reality here. Right?
Now, and that's why, this. And that's why I'm, you know, we're look. That's why we're focusing on Flint on this program, because when questions are asked at a debate and it's 30 seconds and stop, we don't want to hear anymore. Consider what they were asking: PFAS, Nestle. If we can't get Flint handled, what are you talking about a water czar? You start with Flint, Charlie, you prove you can get it done, and then we move on to other things.
Charlie, understand this. The federal law is just the lead and copper roof. We've had test engineers, EPA, Wayne State University, Virginia Tech. When they tell you things are under control in Flint, they're referring to lead, because now we've got corrosion control and the water is treated right. It's like baking a cake. If you bake a cake and don't put eggs, milk, flour, bacon, soda, sugar, all the right things and ingredients, it ain't going to bake right. They purposely didn't treat water right, intentionally knew not what they was doing, but that's lead and copper. You got all bacteria, rust, chemicals. This water is ain't even right now from what we know because all the other stuff. And that could be happening in cities across the country. It ain't just Flint. The
that's why Flint's important.
Lead levels and contaminants. Flint.
Flint's important because it's people, first of all, and second of all, it's the tip of the spear. This is going on across America. And if we can't get Flint fixed, we're not going to fix a damn thing. That's all. What happened? Where's the $400
million? Well, I've just called an investigative hearing. I'm subpoenaing witness passing such questions.
Stop, stop. I'm sorry, sir. You don't know where the $400 million is?
I've got a general idea, but my job is to know everything and know it under oath.
But who's supposed to know? Councilman Mays, who is supposed to know as a
legislature? The fiduciary is the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. I was on the phone this
week. They aren't in communication.
The agency lying about the lead.
That is correct. And so I was on the phone with the Attorney General and Amy Epke from the MDEQ this past week. They're refusing to come and answer questions under oath. We issued the subpoena yesterday or today. It should go out to them. I predict we'll end up in Circuit Court arguing whether they got to come and answer questions.
Where the money is. By the way, my money, Escanaba's money, Battle Creek's money, Ferndale's money, Detroit, your money that you don't have. It's all of us together. Sir?
Charlie, they say if I'm able to get them to Flint, it's too many cities, townships, and villages in the state for them to be coming telling people stuff. So I say, well, all of them ain't been under emergency. That's your job. We got to know. We have to meet in the open, under the Open Meetings Act. Y'all went to Washington hearings. Y'all have hearings in Lansing. The charter that the Attorney General approved says...
Are you in the bathroom? Were you just flushing the toilet?
No.
Yeah, you were.
No.
I heard it.
There's something gurgling.
I'm on the corner of Linden Road in Pasadena. You heard a truck.
Let's stay focused, gentlemen. We're talking.
Well, listen. Stay focused. Listen, I'm sorry. We're gonna come back. Eric Mays, city councilman, demands some attention to Flint. Demands that the attorney general candidates, the gubernatorial candidates, come to Flint. I agree. Sir, one last question. How is your ball sack these days?
Well, I'll tell you this. My ball sack is fine. I'm 60 now. I got a little hernia. I used to play
that's TMI.
Wide receiver up at Michigan State.
Go Blue, baby.
I'm with Magic. And also was a walk-on behind Kirk Gibson. So we are used to winning championships here. My degree is political science. I'm out to win a championship. Charlie, we don't just demand them to come here and talk. we want to know on the front end before we vote for specifically what's your plan and what you're going to do to wrap this thing up.
Thank you, sir. We'll be back in touch. God bless Flint. Thanks for coming on.
God bless you, Charlie. Bye, Karen.
See ya.
Okay. Now.
Thank you, sir.
Real quick. Bobby. Ready? Eric Holt is in town parading around with Garland Gilchrist. Here's a little Twitter thing they put out. Right, Bob?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
What you talking about?
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
No bullshit!
Fix the damn house.
Well, I'm in Detroit today to make sure that Gretchen and Garland are the next governor and lieutenant governor in Michigan. I need you all to get out there and vote. I need you to canvass. I need you to make phone calls. This man needs to be the next lieutenant governor of Michigan.
And I'm so honored to have the former Attorney General Eric Holder standing tall for Michigan alongside not just me, but Gretchen Whitmer and our whole movement that's going to bring Michigan into the 21st century where all of us are included. Thanks, y'all. Let's get out to vote and let's win.
Fix the damn house.
No bullshit. Flint. Listen here. Okay, fix the damn house.
Fix the damn house.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm not partisan. I'm not telling you who I'm voting for. Could even be that guy. Mr. Gilchrist, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to put it on the air so it's dated. You got that house from the land bank, from the Duggan administration, on a special deal for employees. You couldn't find financing. You want the big chair, and now you're going to find financing. Here's the deal. There are sealed indictments on the land bank and people involved with it. Confirmed. Number two, deals are being cut. The feds are back. It's coming. Fact. Hey, Bob, please. It's a fact. You got Holder on tape. Fact. When this thing blows up, you're involved with it. I'm telling you now, if I were you, and I'm not, I would forget about profiting off of a house, an apartment complex, and I would let it go. Let it go. It's got nothing to do with you as a politician, the party, any of that. It's a bad look. It's going to catch up to you. It's going to fall. These indictments are coming. 100%.
It's like a setup.
I'm just saying. I've seen internal memos. Department of Justice. Okay? I know who's cooperating. I've seen proffer agreements. I know people that have taken the lie detectors. Once a crime has been committed, if there are sealed indictments, it's 5 years before it's got to be public. That's mid-next year. Let it go. That's just a piece of advice, and good luck.
You need to get out of it.
I would.
Yeah.
And good luck, and don't forget about Flint. But this isn't how you want to go in if you're given the chair.
It would look like he was brought in for the election, not letting the House go, set up for dismissal under whatever terms next year. So he would be instrumental, perhaps, in delivering this election and then falling victim to this situation next year. So he's in enough to benefit and then out.
You've spent a lot of time in politics. You're high up in City Hall under Dave Bing. What would your recommendation be?
My recommendation would be to let the House go.
Let it go.
If, in fact, you really want the chair, and I know Garland, I like Garland. I think he's an impressively intelligent young man, and I think he could add value, but I do think that it's not worth it. I think I'd let the House go, and I'd focus on my career as lieutenant governor.
What about a blind trust?
Yeah, you could do a blind trust, but I just it's not worth it. I mean, you got 50 million abandoned houses in the city. It's not like he won't have the opportunity to develop one later on. Certainly, he may have done this as a revenue-generating opportunity for him and his family. That's not a bad thing. That's something he can do later. I think he needs to let the House go and focus.
If he wants to be lieutenant governor.
If he wants to be lieutenant governor.
Well, because he got in on the fight.
And out of trouble regardless, because if this is coming down, whether he's in Lansing or not, it's still going to be an issue.
Right, and he got in on the friends and family plan because he got it for half price.
Yeah, the city employees, that's right. What it is. I know that's what you're, but we want to be clear about that.
Right.
And again.
It was a legitimate offer.
And again.
Sure.
He's not in any way, shape, or form that I know of, and I don't even suspect it, involved with the shenanigans at the land bank and the building authority and City Hall. It's just not something to be connected to.
In any way.
Optics matter.
Yes.
Optics matter.
And, you know, it's politics, young man. Welcome to it, and you'll get clobbered, no doubt. It'd be a huge distraction. Having said that, we sent Jody intern out to get some answers on the house, on Flint, right?
We did.
On a lot of things, and let me just put it like this. Joe's got a lot of work to do. He's a gamer, but I don't know.
Gives it a lot of effort.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm here for the gubernatorial campaign event. Governor candidates are supposed to be speaking in here today. I was told it was just ad hoc. Come on down. I didn't know you're supposed to register.
You're with the media?
Yes, I'm with NoBSNewsHour.com.
Okay, well, we're putting the media in the balcony.
Up in the balcony. Uh-huh. Well, now, how can the media ask questions from up there? Well, you just got to shout
well,
them?
They do questions. We're going to have microphones in the audience. So come down here, I guess.
All right, thanks.
What I'm going to do is I, as governor, will stand by what their opinion is and enforce it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Gretchen Whitmer.
Thank you.
He is the Republican nominee for governor of the state of Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Schuette.
Good afternoon. Hey, everybody. And you. What's up, bud?
Man, you're looking good today.
How are you? I'm feeling great.
Have a seat. Have a seat. Right. Let's have some fun here. So now I'm going to make my way down to the floor. Trying to get in a position to question this guy if I could. Looks like Whitmer's gone, so I probably won't be able to ask Whitmer any questions either.
Thank you. Hey, listen, I need your vote. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, Whitmer.
How you doing, Charlie?
How's it going there?
Marco at NoBSNews.com. It's your Charlie the Duff thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a couple of questions with the candidates.
Yeah, one just walked out.
Right. How am I going to do that?
Walk right out there. Get him. Right there. Seriously.
Is Whitmer still here? Mr. Schuette, how you doing? This is Joe DeMarco at the NoBSNewsHour.com.
Yeah, it's not listen, .com. I'm gonna, I'll
just
get,
one question.
I'll get back with you, Bill. You want to handle that?
Yep. Shout the question, Joe.
Come with me for a quick second, all right?
Shout the question.
Joe. Just one question, yeah, no, Mr. Schuette.
Say it.
He's got to go.
Say it.
Dude, you can't do that here. Come on.
Well, I mean, they were supposed to have a mixer afterwards
mixer. I'm going to talk with that guy right now. Hang on one second.
Because, I mean, we got questions and...
I got it.
Is there going to, I mean, it looks like he's driving away. I mean, he's not coming back, right?
There's the crack reporter.
So you just stopped me from getting a question?
I did that, yes, sir.
Man, that's dirty of you.
You know, it's dirty. You jumped my stage, so come on.
All right, so we got pimped. We officially got pimped, and that's it. They made sure the candidates got out the door and in the car without me having any type of physical access to them. How you doing, Mr. Levin, right? My name's Joe DeMarco with the NoBSNewsHour.com. How you doing today?
NoBS News Hour.
I got kind of pimped out of the ability to question the candidates. I had some questions for them. So, Mr. Levin, do you think Schuette should bring charges against anyone in the Flint water scandal?
He has, Joe. You got to read.
That would be his back turned towards me and not answering. I'm on a D list or the E list, if there is one, of celebrity news reporting. One of the questions
Joe wants to be a celebrity. You hear that?
Was about the Flint deal.
So I posted on
Schuette
Facebook.
Should he brought charges against somebody? Should he try to bring charges against somebody before he leaves office?
He has.
Yeah, I was going to ask Flint, but you know what? A lot's been talked about Flint. I just didn't want to get in. I thought we...
You know, a follow-up question that you could have asked him when you were talking to him about the 40,000 people that got screwed. Yeah. He admitted they got screwed.
He admitted it.
And then he says, well, I'm the lawyer.
Sure.
Why?
I got to take you this way.
Come on, man.
He's getting physically removed.
Come on, man. It's not cool. Why, man?
It's not cool. Come on.
Dude, you are so not cool. I was in the middle.
I know.
Just let me finish.
Thank you.
Man, dude, what, you're going to have security throw me out now?
He goes.
Dude,
he goes.
He goes.
Everybody's aware. He goes.
Okay, you go.
right.
Kill the mic for us, please.
You heard the man.
Kill the mic for us, please.
Joe, you there?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm depressed, but I'm here.
Man, what? If I could get paid for failure, I'd be a rich man.
No bullshit!
What are you depressed about, Joe?
Failure, man. If I could get paid for being failure, I'd be a rich man, but it's not happening. I don't know. I did things wrong, but them people were not cool. They specifically said we'd be able to question people afterwards. And it just didn't happen. They lied. They flat out lied to us.
Well, that's politics, man. But you got, first of all, you got to do your homework. I like your spunk, but you're not getting anything.
No, I'm not. See, I'm wasting my time here.
Well, you know, look, you're supposed to be learning. So, like, you got to read. You got to know what. Look, I sent you out to go see Duggan the other day. You asked me what the question is. I said, does he anticipate being indicted? Right?
Right.
But you didn't
right.
ask it.
And you snuck away. I couldn't even ask him.
Why
shit.
Didn't he you shout away. It to him? Everybody's sneaking away.
Be controversial.
Because, again, they said I could talk to him after he got off the stage. When I looked up, he was gone.
What are you asking permission, dude?
You shout out those questions.
Well, I mean,
by.
When there's a wall of security people between you and the dude.
Shout the question.
And roll on security. You know, don't let him push you around.
So you got shooty. It was clear, but you didn't ask him the question, right?
Well, I tried because security kept pushing me back.
They
it's
tricked you.
Maintain,
they tricked
it's
you.
It's hard to maintain a thought in your head while you got guys shoving you around, man.
You got
to. It ain't like they were just standing there saying, "Sir, you got to go back in the building." And these guys physically pushed me back in the building.
Don't let anybody push you around. Don't let anybody. You make sure you tell your recorder what's going on. Hey, you pushing me around? What are you?
And you take
what's your
names.
Name?
You
what's your name? Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
push back.
That's right. No, you don't push back, but you get their name.
He said, "My name is. I'm the guy that's going to introduce you to the guy that can answer your questions." And that was his name. And I don't know why he
asked him again.
While I was trying to talk to Langton, I was having a good conversation with Langton. There was nobody was angry, no shouting, no animosity. We're just talking. All of a sudden, this guy comes and snatches me out of there.
See, now look, Joe, when you're talking with Langton, it was actually pretty good because you weren't trying to be like some smart guy celebrity reporter. You were having a conversation, talking about things you were aware of. Don't go out there like lots of other reporters that don't know what they're talking about and just look to get a quotation. Talk about what you know. You don't know about Flint. That's obvious. Mr. Schutte, are you going to charge people? There's people been charged. What you meant was, are there going to be more? Is there going to be a RICO? Are you going after the financiers? What about the original emergency manager? What about the governor?
The governor.
What about Richard Baer, the governor's right hand? Those are things you don't
the
know.
The amount of time you just spent rattling off those questions was five times more time than I was allowed.
Well, see, there's you again, just like
I
talking.
Mr. Schutte,
they weren't questions, Joe. Spirit. Joe, these are things you should know about. I wasn't doing questions. I was telling you the things you're supposed to know before you do that. So if every right. time you go out, you ask me for three questions, I give them to you, and you don't even ask them. And then, you know, I'm up till 2 a.m. with you. And then I see you're posting on Facebook like you're some kind of big shot. Tune in to me on Sunday, like you're not even on Sunday.
What's his Facebook name? What's your name on Facebook, Joe?
Joe knows he's doing it. Joe, what do you call your Facebook feed
I'm
now?
I'm just trying to get people to tune into the show and promote the show.
Well, dude, they're doing
that.
It.
That.
You're all laying around dead's working, dude. Don't get me wrong.
What's his Facebook name?
What's your Facebook handle, Joe?
The Joe DeMarco Detroit.
What's your Twitter handle, bro?
Intern Joe.
Intern Joe. Say he's into it. Joe, first of all, just listen to me, all right, as your mentor. First of all, don't post shit about the show till we're ready to go with the show. Yes? Got it?
I mean, everybody does teasers.
You don't do the teasers, Joe. You're the intern.
That's not a tease anyway.
Bob will do the teasers. Karen will do the teasers. Jason will do the teasers. I'll do the teasers. You're our man on the street. Understood?
All right.
Okay, number two. Number two.
I'll be on the street pretty soon. I'm not making no money or paying the rent or nothing, man.
What happened to changing the light bulb job?
I'm still doing it, but you know, every time I got to do something for you, I'm taking time off from that job.
Well, I'm assuming you're still getting paid.
Not when I no, they're not going to pay me to go work for you.
Wait a minute, how long did it take for you to get thrown out of an event? Don't pretend.
It was actually a whole day, man.
You're going to have to change your Twitter to Joe the ex-intern pretty soon.
Man, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, I can only try. And
that's
know,
what I'm applauding you for that. I'm just giving you some.
Definitely got the effort.
Now, look here. Here's the other thing. Don't go off reservation. Start going to candidates' real homes. I don't want you stalking anybody. When security asks you to leave.
Why? Leave. Rob Wolchek goes to people's house all the time.
You're not Rob Wolchek. He's a skilled journalist. You're an intern. Don't watch TV and get carried away, Joe. Oh, and by the way, Joe, Rob Wolchek
has clean shirts.
Combs his hair and wears clean shirts.
Oh, be nice to Joe.
That's, I wear clean clothes. I have my shirt
and
was tight.
And he has media credentials now. You can't.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You have no idea what I look like because
I do because you send me a picture and you're wearing the plastic fishing cap with the press card tucked in it.
Just a $60 hat.
That's yeah, with the press card tucked in it.
Like, you don't know how much positive people always tell me nice things about this hat. Nobody's ever said it's negative, except you.
Wait a minute.
Joe, do you like your hat?
I like it.
Then that's all that matters.
Joe keeps getting thrown out. Look.
We got to put a
Langton said you look like a homeless. I'm just saying. Don't mean to hurt your feelings.
No.
What?
The reason I'm getting thrown out is because I'm trying to ask these guys questions they don't want people asking them questions.
You didn't even ask them one. How do you know?
The Channel 7 guy got thrown out.
The Channel 7 guy got thrown out?
At the thing at Eastern Market, even the Channel 7 guy got thrown out.
Well, all right.
Should have interviewed him.
So next time.
Had nothing to do with the way I was dressed.
I don't know, Joe. Listen. I got with Sam coming. He's going to come down from Lansing, okay? And he's got a couple of suits from his dead grandfather.
And oh, my God. Dude, I got suits hanging in plastic at my house.
Why don't you put one on?
Why are they in plastic?
So you dust those accumulate on.
So he keeps them nice.
But not in plastic, though. They need to be in a fabric garment bag.
Garment
Joe.
Bag, yeah.
See, they're that's the, not plastic.
The plastic thing, when you get them back from the dry cleaners, they got
I know,
the plastic.
But the plastic makes contains the chemicals,
the
right, and it maintains it, and it'll actually erode certain fabrics. I don't know what fabrics your suits are, but I would not keep them. They need to breathe. So you need, I'll bring you
a real garment
I'll
bag.
Bring you a fabric garment bag to keep your suit in. Yeah, I do. I will.
Well, Joe, what do you say?
Thank you.
Anything for you, Joe.
Excellent.
All
right,
thank you
Joe,
very much.
Joe, I love your spunk. I love the effort you're putting into it, man. It's we're gonna get you there, dude. We're gonna win you a Peabody.
You're getting there.
I'm gonna bring a tie too. I'm gonna bring Joe a tie.
You're putting
as well.
The effort in.
Okay, Joe, here's your theme song going out, man. What? I don't wanna see you on Twitter tonight. I mean don't reveal the show. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, intern Joe.
Love you, Joe. Have a good weekend.
All right. Vote often.
You too, man.
That's this week's show. No bullshit news hour.
And this is your theme song, Joe.
This is for you, Joe.
They seek him here. They seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
He's got suits.
And when he does his little round,
plastic.
Put him on, Joe, try his suit.
Of London town.
He's a scrapper, though.
Eagerly pursuing all the latest fads and trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Oh, yes,
yes,
he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
He thinks he is is a flower to be looked at. And when he pulls his frilly nylon panties right up tight, he feels a dedicated
follower of fashion.
Oh, oh yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
And oh, yes, he is. He's the Jody intern, and Nick really gives his all, but it we seem that Joe is taking a platform, because he's Joe, the intern.
They seek him here,
sick him there.
They seek him there, in Regent Street, and Leicester Square.
Everybody together? Dedicated follower
of fashion.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
You see Joe coming your way, you call security. Know him by his dapper fishing plastic top hat.
Follower.
Oh, yes, he
is.
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is. He flits from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the cloth, he is as fickle as can be, because he's a
dedicated follower of fashion.
He's a dedicated follower.
Be good to one another.